Okay, welcome everyone. My talk is about GSM burst transmission in the radio. And first, who I am? It is the same points as on House Computer Congress. But yeah, I'm author of part of APROBE. Years ago, I was author of it, and then I changed it into GeoGSM and built some stuff around it. And I'm also author of multi-RTL, a software tool for synchronizing RTL SDR devices in time domain. I'm professionally working at Warsaw University on radar signal processing. I would like to put someday in here also a small contributor. I'm not there yet. I'm still in the process of transferring GRGSM project into a Smocom umbrella, but I would also want to do some stuff on things that are more of interest to the rest of Smocom community. So maybe in near future, I hope. What is it for this GSM burst transmission? The main motivation was adding transmit side to GRGSM, so we can marry it together with Smocom BB and make it GRGSM burst transceiver for Smocom BB, so it can work not only on Motorola's but also on SDR devices, and it could be also adapted to work as a BTS transceiver, but I haven't done that yet, and there is Osmocom, Osmo TRX, so there is no much motivation for it. It also could be used for testing receive side of GRGSM that is already in there. So the requirements that we set for the burst transmission were following. The input of the transmitter, we have burst with GSM tap headers, and what is interesting in them is mostly frame number. At the output, we wanted to get GMSK modulated RF signal that is synchronized with received signal. So we have there is working somewhere the receiver, and it observes the downlink, and it can inform the uplink part, the transmit part, about frame current, frame structure, current frame position, and the uplink should transmit TDMA frames in three time slots later than it is in uplink. And what we also had to do was assuring the signal that we are transmitting are not corrupted in some way. They look like GSM signal. And at this moment, we didn't have ambition to make it to implement frequency hopping. We wanted just it to work on single frequency. So this is the signal that we wanted to get, maybe beside this 8 PSK modulated part in the middle. So this is the envelope of the signal. And then why to use GNU Radio for this? Because many people might probably think that it's very inconvenient to do this, and I want to maybe update them about GNU Radio features that maybe they don't know about. So why GNU Radio? Because it's modular. So for example, if I need to design a filter, I can use a routine that was implemented by someone else. I don't have to reinvent the wheel. If I want to do filtering, resampling, modulation, demodulation, coding, decoding, there's a lot in there. If someone doesn't want to know what is inside inside a block, he doesn't need to. He needs to know what's on the input, what's on the output, what the block does. But internal code is, knowledge of internals is not not needed to do something if someone doesn't want to. The architecture of software created this way is maybe quite clear, because we have blocks connected to together. The disadvantage is that it might impose some limitations, but probably not as much as many people think. Some things might even be not possible without extending the runtime. For example, I would like to have ability to reconfigure flow graphs of GNU Radio in without stopping them, but then maybe I should send the patches myself. And so basically, when people think about GNU Radio, they think about sources of samples, some blocks processing them, and things, and the basic object that is processed is single sample, and there is no way to distinguish between them. For example, to do some packets. So what GNU Radio blocks do is taking some samples at the input, applying some processing function, for example, adding inputs from two signals from two inputs, and writing to the output. And what GNU Radio runtime assures is that it will be done synchronously on two inputs. The number of samples that get in is the same. But this way of processing streams have some limitations. For example, packets are probably not possible this way. There is no signaling from upstream blocks to downstream blocks of some events that have occurred. No sending data upstream, so no loops and no control mechanism without any hacks into the framework. So over the years, GNU Radio evolved, and some mechanisms were added, like for example, stream tags. And what are stream tags? It's metadata that is attached to given sample in the stream, and it travels across multiple blocks, and it can be used to send information from upstream blocks to downstream blocks about, for example, current frequency that is that we are receiving on current time for given sample, and other stuff. And it also can be used to modify other blocks' behavior at particular moment. For example, changing frequency shift at precisely given moment, and changing resampling rate, and so on and so on. So this is how it looks like. We have a stream of samples. The block sees the stream of samples through a window. So at given call of its work function, it sees some limited number of samples. And inside of this window, it can also see stream tags. So, for example, we can imagine that there is a tag with length of a packet. So we can get packets this way. But it's quite inconvenient. You can implement one block this way, but if you want to implement more of them, you have to deal always with problems like this. That the burst can be only, you can have only beginning of burst, only end. You can get combinations of them. You can get middle of the burst. So if you have to implement this way one block, it's not a problem. But if you have to implement this way each block processing packets, it's very inconvenient. So what was introduced were later was target streams, and streams are packetized in here with use of stream tags, and these tags mark start of each packet, this mark is packet length tag that is attached to the beginning of each packet. There are no spaces between packets. So if you violate this rule, bad things might happen in the radio. It might stop working. And what is assured by the runtime, the radio runtime, is that one block is processed in whole at the time. So advantages is that it uses this mechanism uses buffers pre-allocated by GNU Radio, so you don't have to care about memory, and it's quite efficient. And you don't have to check multiple conditions of packet locations in input buffer. Blocks are therefore simpler, but it has also some disadvantages, like packet size limit. It's limited by the maximum size of burst, and packet headers can be sent this way, but then you have to remember that sample from this to this is, for example, CRC or something like this. And it's not convenient, and it's basically a hack of stream processing that works very well in GNU Radio to change its purpose to something else. Yeah, we are recording.
Yes. Another disadvantage is if you pass them through a rate changing block,
yeah,
the length tag doesn't get adjusted.
Yeah,
automatically,
you have to adjust it.
Which means that you screw up your stream immediately, and if the block has a rate change that is not easily predictable, you can't even.
Yeah,
fix it
you cannot.
Easy at all.
You're right. So there is another mechanism that is well fitted for sending packets, and it's called message passing, and it's a mechanism to send asynchronous messages between blocks, and they are in PMT format. It's polymorphic type. Also, stream tags are in this format, and it's very flexible. But it also has, at least for me, quite inconvenient interface taken from Lisp. For example, you don't have pair, you have cons. This is funny, but you can get used to it. And it's completely independent of streams of samples. And each block can have stream inputs, stream outputs, message inputs, message outputs. There is no such limit. There are no limits to this. It can be used for many things, like setting parameters of another block by given block, sending packets, and there is even some special format in GNU Radio for this that some blocks recognize, and it's called PDU. It's a pair or cons with header, which is dictionary with header fields in given formats like integer 64 or something like this, and there is content, And this is binary blob. Yeah, and one interesting thing is that with message passing, you can easily implement loops that are not possible for some reason with stream processing. So here is example of a loop that I use in GRGSM for receiving for frequency correction. The GSM receiver block processes frequency correction burst. It computes frequency of them, and then GSM clock offset control compute based on this clock frequency offset, and updates this block GSM input adapter. It has inside frequency shifting block and sample rate changing block that both of them are controlled by stream tags inside. These messages are then converted to stream tags, and the stream tags control the other blocks. Okay, so the message passing has some interesting advantages, like it's very flexible. You can send any data you like with PMTs. It's well suited for package representation, and you can easily distinguish different parts of packets with this, but it has also advantages. It's asynchronous, so if you have two parallel branches in GNU Radio that has messages in it, and you connect them together in some block, you have completely non-deterministic order of these packets in this block, and there is also no back pressure of one block on another. And what I mean here is that one block is receiving messages, but he's got too much of them, and he would like to say to another, "Hey, I got enough. Stop sending to me." And there is no such mechanism. So, for example, message source can produce any number of messages and don't care if someone is able to receive them on time. And there is no pre-allocated space in memory. Memory, as far as I know, is allocated each time you create PMT. So it might be some limit for in the fast path if you try to use it, for example, to send 100 mega samples inside of messages. It might be somewhat limiting. I don't have ambition to describe everything in here. I just wanted to say that maybe if you think that GNU Radio sucks, maybe you should rethink it. Maybe it's not that bad. But if you want to know more, go and see the talk by Tom Rondo on stream tags, PDUs, and message passing. How to transmit burst with GNU Radio? So this is the whole secret. It's you have in GNU Radio a block representing USRP transceive chain, and you can send a tagged stream to it. This block itself is not a tagged stream, but it understands tagged streams. When you fill packet, it's TSB tag name, and you can you should put packet length tag name in there, and from this moment it will start understand tag streams. And in tag stream you can attach to the beginning of each burst transmit time, so USRP know exactly where it should send something. And what does it on its side is UHD timed commands mechanism that is implemented in USRPs and in the driver. So here I've got demo. what I've got in here. Again, I've got signal source, regular one taken from GNU Radio. I've got burst tagger block. I've written it. It just adds periodically tags to the stream, so you can mark where tags where bursts are starting and when they should be transmitted. You can define how long should be burst and how long should be idle duration between them. Idle duration, yeah. And I am already running it. Okay, so here is what I'm sending to UHD block, to USRP. And here you can see TX time tags values and burst length. And on the receive side, what I would like to get is bursts that have equal length with idle parts. But here you can see that that is not the case somehow. And I can fix it. I will connect attenuator to the transmit port. Let's see what happened. It's fixed. This is strange thing. I still don't know why it is, but I know where it happens, and I can fix it with connecting, for example, 1 dB attenuator. So it's not such a problem for me. I don't have much motivation to look for the source of it. And yeah, it happens only when you are trying to transmit something and you are trying to transmit burst and receive continuously at the same time. I don't know why. It's only a feature of B200 devices. And as I said, it can be worked around with attenuator. And if you connect some antenna that doesn't have any connection between active pin and the ground of the port, you will see also this. I don't want to transmit junk in here, but you would see it as well. Here we are just observing crosstalk between the transmit and receive port. And then, is everything fine now? Let's check. I'm now adding some zeros at the end of the burst with use of burst shaper block. It adds 10 zeros at the end. And let's see this. Did I stop the flow graph? No. Okay, so this is what we would like to transmit. This is the burst. At the end, it has zeros that I added in there, the padding. And this is what we receive. So this is the back of previous burst. And probably it's effect of group delay that is not taken care of. So you should do it manually yourself. And how to take care of it, you can just add enough zeros. For example, in this case, it's 20, and you won't see it anymore. Let's try it. Yeah, much better, but you have some delay. And yeah. Let me stop this. And it appears for every USRP that I've seen, maybe for X300 devices. I haven't seen this tile of a burst at the beginning. But there is still a missing part of burst. So you should at zeros anyway. So now, how to use GNU Radio to build a GSM transmitter. So we have interface. It receives bursts from somewhere, and it sends downstream bursts with frame numbers and time slot numbers. Then there is important block, very important block that converts frame numbers and time slot numbers to transmit time tags. After that, we have modulator that does GMSK modulation, and it takes at the input PDU messages with burst, and at the header of this PDU message, it has, for example, transmit time tags. This is the most important thing. No, and at the end, you have SDR hardware, and at the moment, it's only USRP that is supports stream tags. So I could put USRP in here. So modulator. I wanted to use only GNU Radio blocks for implementing it, just to check if I can do it. There are also some adaptation blocks in here that I put on this picture. So first you have a block that changes messages to text stream. Then there are blocks that are doing differential encoding, and I found out that differential encoding in the GSM means it's differential decoder, as the radio means it. And its output has to be then changed to bipolar representation, and then I have to adapt output of that block to the input of GMSK modulator block that does the GMSK modulation with oversampling of 4. So as Sylvain said, after changing the rate, I have to correct the packet length value, and there is a block that does it, but it can't probably do it dynamically. And at the end, I have a burst shaper block that takes care about this thing that I have shown. It adds zero at the back of burst, and it also does power ramping. Maybe not very good at the moment, but yeah, but it can be updated and do it according to the spec. So then we have this frame number to TX time conversion, and I have to think about it for a bit. So let's start from something general, and how to convert one time in general to another one is, let's do it on an example. For example, we have some counter, some number of samples, and we want to convert it to time, and this time can be time since turning on USRP. So we have known NX and unknown TX, and we can put it on a plane and draw a line through it. This is how the one converts to another. The conversion ratio is TS, it's period of sampling. And how to convert, how to find the value. So let's start from capturing some other point, some reference point. And it's number of samples, NREF, and precise time attached for this sample, and it's TREF. And then we can add, we can do some simple math to find TX. So TS is tangent of the angle in here, we can write a formula for it and then derive tx from this. Okay, but in converting of frame numbers to time, there is problem that it's number modulo hyperframe. So this is the number in here, and it frame numbers are repeating every about three point five hour. So it's not that you can ignore it. It can happen. And computing unambiguous difference between two frame numbers is therefore quite hard if the distance is higher than hyperframe divided by two. So what would it be great to have is something like this, the straight line. So we can capture the reference point and compute the time. But this is what we have really. And there is ambiguity in here. So how to resolve it? We can, for example, track time, and it doesn't have to be very very precise. We can use, for example, PC clock for it because it won't sleep that much. Maybe hyperframe over two, it's over 1 hour, so it would take some time to have such error of time between USRP and PC. And we can use this, and this time hint should be estimate, for example, of our TX value that we want to find out. And it's therefore quite close to the point that we are searching for. So this is what we have. We can move the reference point close to the point that we are looking for, and compute using similar formula as previously. I added here h, which is length of hyperframe over two, just to support the situation that we have time hint that is in future in comparison with the point that we are looking for. And yeah, we can easily add here support for time slot numbers. So the naming convention is the same as previously. In here, TSX is time slot number that we want to convert. TS ref is reference time slot number, and TS period is period of time slot. Yeah, the next talk will be quite short. So so you don't have to worry about this schedule. And yeah, but I'm close to the end. So where to get the reference point from? It's taken from receive side of USRP together with RX time tags that are sent by USRP whenever some change of time happen. And receive chain of GeoGSM tracks sample numbers and RX time tags. It converts them one to another and can add time to frame number and send the pair downstream. And this pair is basically our reference point that is used for conversion. And yeah, this is how it works. And here I have another demo. Let's start network in the box. I connect cable in here that is missing. Okay. And I will start the demo. So it receives the signal. You can see some messages decoded on the output. And what I do in here is that this part is receiver. Then I using the output just to trigger generation of access burst whenever frequency correction burst is received. And there is another branch for reference frame numbers and time. And here there is transmit chain. So adaptation block in this case are outside of modulator. And let's see what happens.
Peter, I'm sorry for interruption. I think it should be noted that we don't actually transmit anything. We use cables.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There are cables, so nothing to worry about. Yeah. So what happens? We get so many random access messages bursts that there is no enough channels to allocate traffic channels in this case. Yeah, this was the first test, and this is what happened. I didn't intend to do it, but it was imminent anyway. And yeah, this is how it worked. And yeah, okay. So this is the end of this talk. So thank you.
Questions, anyone?
So have you tried hopping since yesterday?
Yeah, I tried, but I will do update on this in the next talk because it's so short that it would conclude it now.
Does it only work with the USRP or also something like Blade RF or Lime SDR?
No, because there is no support for StreamTax for them.
Okay.
At this moment in GNU Radio. So I'm thinking about adding it to GR Osmo SDR, or maybe someone else will want to do it also.
All right. Thank you.
I think the root problem is that it's not supported by Osmo SDR, Osmocom source and sync for SDR. So we are not portable between software-defined radios. I mean, the root problem why we don't support Lime SDR for now is that we statically use UHD source and UHD sync because they do support Ericsson TX time tags, but generic Osmocom source and sync blocks don't support this.
Does it work using SOAPy UHD then, or?
We didn't try, but
it okay. Could. It's just not the interface. It's not exposed on GNU Radio.
Okay.
Nobody did it yet, but it can be done.
Why did you choose GNU Radio over Osmo TRX? Because Osmo TRX already has support for
But there was one requirement that I missed. I wanted to transmit only when I have to, because mobile station most of the time doesn't transmit, and it's not supported at the moment. I think in Osmo TRX, and this was advantage. And another thing is that I already know exactly how GRGSM works, and Osmo TRX was a bit harder, but probably not that hard not to do that.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty simple and works well. It has all.
Osmo T-Rex is written to be a clock master, which means you do have to make some changes for it to synchronize to an external base station and track So but it's not just, you know, sending the burst on the data interface and hoping it's going to work, right?
Yeah, but you remember that.
Of course, I remember.
A lot of this work, good part of this work has already been done.
No. I mean, I'm. Honestly, I would have written it with Osmo TRX, but
it's just much more. It's robust, and it has much.
I don't know. Honestly, I've
less dependencies than GNU Radio.
Yeah, much less dependency, sure, but. I mean, honestly, I think it's, I was kind of impressed to see it work, and I think it's that GNU Radio has come a long way also to support that kind of use case of a burst transmission. I mean, you know, building GNU Radio these days is not that hard, right? It's not like a few years ago.
No.
I mean, you can even run it on Windows these days. And
Yeah,
for mere models,
it's possible. To compile it on Windows. I did it. It was painful experience, but yeah,